Hi, I'm Ben Trefney, news director here at KALW. We really appreciate you listening to Cross Currents, and we'd really appreciate your support during our almost fall membership drive. Please click the Donate Now button at KALW.org. Thanks.
KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Santa Cruz.
Union City.
Hayward.
San Francisco.
I'm from Fremont.
Yo, I'm San Jose, just downtown.
Today, we're broadcasting from the studios of Snap Judgment in Oakland with special guests.
This is Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment, Hanababa.
And I'm Anna Sale from Death, Sex, and Money.
It's an epic smackdown between two of the biggest public radio podcasters.
The battle between truth and justice versus darkness and despair.
Glenn, I'm telling you, I'm a middle child. I'm competitive. I'm winning this thing.
There's no way. There's no, I'm an older child. I know what to do with middle children.
This is going to be quite an hour.
Do not miss it.
How about you like, what, how you like that?
Yeah, do not miss it. Did I get it?
Yeah, there you go, Hannah.
Today we're broadcasting from Oakland. I'm joined by two public radio superstars today. First, Glenn Washington, the host of Snap Judgment. Hi.
Do not miss it.
Oh, there it is.
What do you think?
There it is. And with us also today, Anna Sale, who hosts Death, Sex, and Money. Hi. Oh, ooh. Everybody's giving them their giving us their voices from their radios, their radio voices.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble.
So you're both here with us today. It's our membership campaign at KALW, and we're here to rally the listeners to make a contribution to KALW. You guys up for that?
Absolutely.
We're down.
Yeah.
We support.
Yes,
both,
Anna.
Both Anna and I both support the KALW, seriously, because for me, it's where I got a start. This is where I first made my first tape of something that eventually became this show we call Snap Judgment. It happened at KALW Studios, and I appreciate it forever.
And that is a reason to give.
That is a reason, especially Snap Nation. If you hear those sultry tunes coming out of Anna Sales' pipes. Everyone's going to give because Anna Sales here right now. Uh-huh. That's what they're going to do.
Well,
I need a little support, too.
You need to ask your snappers to
Snap Nation, step up.
Step up.
That number to call is 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. Let them know.
He put you on the spot.
Well, here's my point of view on KALW. I'm relatively new to the Bay Area. I just moved here about 2 years ago. So, and I come from a public radio station in New York City. And for me, KALW was always, within the whole public radio ecosystem, it was the place where you knew new stuff was getting invented. It was the place that you looked to see what the future of radio might sound like. And so it's so exciting that now I live here. I live in Berkeley. I get to listen to KALW every day and get to hear not just the new stuff that's getting developed, the new kinds of shows, but also the really kind of grounded local reporting that happens here on Cross Currents and across KALW. And I'm a fan. And so if you like Death, Sex, and Money, just know I endorse the idea of supporting KALW. I am a member of KALW. I hope you will become one, too. The phone number is 800-525-9917, or you can do it at KALW.org.
And so I like Sex and Money.
Death, I don't know how many Death fans there are out there.
Yeah. That's why I think Snap Nation needs to step up and put this whole thing to bed. 1-800-525-9917.
Whose fans will step up?
I mean, that's but what here, I here, know. Here's my defense of Death, right? The reason Death is in the title of my show is because we deal with life as it is, and Death is a part of life. And what's also a part of life is needing to pay for things. So if you love KALW,
Whoa.
You got to recognize.
That was a great
transition.
It
takes some coin to do it.
I'll give the number then. That's 1-800-525-9917. That's KALW.org. The problem is that Death, Sex, and Money deals with the way things are. Snap, we deal with the way things should be.
We need both.
And actually, given that, KALW should be free. However, Apparently, we live in a death, sex, and money universe. We do. And that's why you have to step up to make these things happen. In fact, this is not only is it a death, sex, and money universe that we live in, this is a no fake news universe that happens at KLW. Nothing could be more important. Snappers, we're about to go into one of the most consequential news cycles maybe of our lifetimes. And it's so important to have local grounding for this, you know, potentially bleak, potentially amazing snap type. Do you want a snap future or do you want a death, sex, and money future? That's the question being asked today on this show. And that's why you might want to call 1-800-525-9917.
I don't know how you can come back from that, though, Anna.
Okay, let's see.
Let me see. I need to
gather your thoughts. Gather your death and your sex and your money.
Death, Sex, and Money is not just a show that's about bleak reality. It's also about what connects us. It's about the things that all of us deal with in different ways, depending on what's happening in our lives. And it makes you hopefully feel, after you've listened, a little less despairing, a little less isolated. And that is the feeling I get from KALW. Like, when I hear the beginning of Cross Currents with just the people's voices of where they live in the Bay Area, I'm like, oh, that's... I live near them too. You know, it makes me feel like I live in a place. And that is something that's actually really valuable right now, because feeling that sense of connection, community, for me at least, has become more rare. And so I have found myself seeking out places that I can feel that. And I feel that when I turn on KALW. And I think that's worth supporting. 800-525-9917.
She's so nice, Glenn.
I know. And we're so evil here at the staff. It's incredible. I can't help. No one has ever said anything bad about Anna Sale in history. And that's the thing about Death, Sex, and Money, the show, is that she says it's about these people and this community and things of that nature. Really, though, if you listen to the show, it's about Anna Sale.
Really, folks, all of it.
It's amazing how she brings that sort of insightful, wide open spirit to some of the most darkest times in people's lives and elicits stories from people who don't necessarily consider themselves storytellers. And I'm a big fan. In the same way I'm a huge fan of KLW, I am, in fact, a fan of Anna Sale and Death, Sex, and Money. I'm just not a fan right now. When we're trying to raise money from Snap Nation to support what really happened. Like, you know, we here at Snap, we think that the world could be better than it is too, Anna Sale. And we here at Snap Nation are willing to put our money where our mouth is and support the programming that matters at 1-800-525-9917. That's KALW, KALW.
.org. Yeah, all right. Great round one, folks. Clean fight.
I gotta go to my corner, man.
Yeah. Let's go into your corners, get some water. In the meantime, let's hear our next story. For the past year, KALW has given special focus to East Oakland. We've hosted live community sights and sounds events there that blend news and arts. And we're reporting on questions you ask through our special project, Hey Area East Oakland. And one of our most popular questions we've received is, what are the boundaries of East Oakland? Well, KALW's Oakland reporter Janae Darden went searching for the answer.
What are the boundaries of East Oakland? As someone originally from East Oakland, I'm curious about this. Before I head east, I start in a central location, Lake Merritt. Even on a weekday afternoon, the scene is buzzing at the lake. From a bird's eye view, you can see court buildings and the Oakland Museum overlooking the glistening water. A man pushes his ice cream cart. People are taking a lunch break stroll. When I ask Oakland residents where East Oakland is, everyone I speak to agrees. The easternmost line is the border of San Leandro. But as to where it begins, the answers range from...
I would say East Oakland begins at Park Boulevard and going east.
To...
I believe it's the area that's around the 580 freeway and then from us and towards Hayward.
And the most common answer I've heard not only today, but over the years growing up in Oakland...
The other side of the lake, as we like to call it. Meaning, once you hit over here by the Athol tennis courts, it's the other side of the lake.
For a more official answer, I head downtown by City Hall to meet Betty Marvin, the city's historic preservation planner. Her canary yellow top pops in the conference room. She flips through one of the many maps she spread across the table for me. Miss Betty gives me a history lesson. She says the East End of Oakland is pretty new. The city incorporated in 1852, but some communities in the East joined the city more than 50 years later.
The farther part of East Oakland became part of Oakland in 1909.
As for those settlements closer to the lake,
going back to early uses of the phrase East Oakland, like 1890s newspaper ads and things like that, it seems pretty consistently to mean east of Lake Merritt.
I notice one map on the table that the city currently uses to determine community development grants. West Oakland and North Oakland are marked. There's even a central East Oakland, but East Oakland is not designated on the map. Ms. Betty says the city doesn't have an official position on what exactly constitutes East Oakland. It's the residents who create the dividing lines. Some of that is about property values.
Yeah, real estate, certainly there's a lot of neighborhood creep.
Right.
And I'm more familiar with that in the west and north parts of Oakland, mm-hmm. where prices have risen faster, higher, and the pressure to suddenly call what used to be the Golden Gate neighborhood Lower Rockridge. I mean, that the neighborhood names are just sliding down toward the bay in an effort to class it up a little.
And Ms. Betty says when the demographics shift, so do the boundaries.
So even the psychological connotations of the name East Oakland may change in the future. People may be more eager to be known as being in East Oakland, or they may really want to shed it and get rid of whatever the stereotypes are at that time.
The words East Oakland do come with stereotypes. Like other regions and major cities, East Oakland has its good and bad. For those of us who are from here, live here, East Oakland, with all of its complexities, is home. That's why this question of where exactly is East Oakland is about more than just geography. It's about culture.
I define the culture of East Oakland as a culture of resilience.
I'm in the Fruitvale neighborhood at artist and activist Fabiana Rodriguez's home. We're about 2.5 miles east of the lake. She takes me back to the East Oakland I remember in the 80s and 90s.
I grew up at a time when Oakland was violent and harsh and poor because of inequality. The crack cocaine epidemic was alive here. We had a huge gang problem. I mean, literally, people would be getting jumped across the street from my house. And we had a police problem. I mean, we had police brutality that has always been a problem with the town. But we also had, you know, MC Hammer. We had graffiti. You know, we had businesses that were thriving.
Fabiana's home is full of her vibrant, colorful paintings. She developed her art skills growing up in East Oakland. Her lessons came from the classroom and everyday people in the community, like
a chola. My mom hired a chola to teach me how to draw lowriders because she was like, you know, I can tell you love art. I'm gonna hire Gina. That's her name, Gina, to teach you how to draw lowriders. And then I would go after school to like a mask making class or a screen printing class at the library. And so I know that as a kid, there was people here and there was services and there was a community that cared about me.
Fabiana is proud of her Fruitvale roots and recognizes the neighborhood as being part of East Oakland. But not everyone east of the lake feels that way about their neighborhood.
You are in the Diamond District of the Oakland.
John Kim is the owner of Nama Japanese Cuisine. The Diamond is a more expensive area of Oakland that doesn't have the same levels of crime or poverty as nearby neighborhoods, like the Fruitvale, its neighbor just about 2 miles to the south. Kim says the Diamond District is not East Oakland.
Well, it's not exactly the East Oakland, but sort of like in between East Oakland and, I guess, the main Oakland.
He says East Oakland starts 6 blocks east of us. That's in the Laurel District. This part of the city definitely looks different from when I was growing up. I see street construction. The grocery store I used to go to with my grandmother is now a gym, but the Ace Hardware store is still here. Property values have gone up, which is great for homeowners, but some longtime residents are struggling to pay rising rents, and homeless people are camped out under the freeway.
So we can have eternal life. Now, God, I thank you so much for these men who stand before you, oh God. It's a struggle and a challenge to stand up to be a man of God in these times.
A little further east, in the Melrose neighborhood, Reverend Harry Williams prays at Victory Outreach Church.
I see giant killers, oh God.
Reverend Harry, as he prefers to be called, is not the pastor of this church. His church is outside, in the streets. He calls himself a hood preacher because, unlike pastors of some of the bigger Oakland churches, he lives in the community that he serves and engages with everyone, from grannies to gangsters.
You're looking at my pulpit right here.
Reverend Harry points to the concrete on the corner of 46th and East 12th. His congregation is all around us. Across the street from us are homeless tents. We're steps away from what's known as the track, a strip on International Boulevard notorious for sex trafficking. But we're also in a neighborhood with family homes and schools.
The culture of East Oakland is vibrant, it's beautiful, it's glorious. There's a lot of joy. There's such much diversity here in East Oakland. It's a place where there's so much swag, incredible music, and just an incredible vibe of brotherhood and sisterhood on the one hand. On the other hand, it can be an incredibly violent place, a place where there's tremendous apathy, especially among the people who really should care about the poor people that live here.
God, nothing is impossible with you. God, make a way out of no way. In Jesus' name, amen.
One block up from Reverend Harry's pulpit is a warehouse. The side entrance is across from a lumber yard near railroad tracks. It looks unassuming, but inside are live-work studios with all sorts of artists. How much would it cost to rent a space here?
Well, I just saw one of the studios up for rent on Craigslist, and it was listed just under $3,000 a month.
Gina Goldblatt sublets a small area of the studio to practice a form of acrobatics called silk. She hangs and spins on fabric that looks like two silk ribbons hanging from the ceiling. I nervously watch her dance in the air.
What's the highest you've ever gone?
I'd be like 25 feet.
After her practice, Gina takes me to the loft where she lives, 2 miles north of here in the Allendale neighborhood. Many of the residents there are people of color. Gina is white and grew up in a New York suburb. After graduating from Mills College and living in North Oakland, she moved to East Oakland 3 years ago. She works multiple jobs to pay the rent, while she sees newer residents moving in with more money. She says the energy is changing in the neighborhood.
I don't know, like, you can feel this tension of, like, different incomes, different, like, lifestyles, different approaches to just being in a neighborhood. You know, because I found that the people that have lived here for a while, they're like, this is my neighborhood, you know? They say hello to you. They're like, how are you doing? Like, even if we're not, like, friends, it's like, you acknowledge each other. We live in the same vicinity. And a lot of people that are, like, really new to the neighborhood kind of just have a different air about them. And I would say, like, it's a little more closer to what I'm used to from New York, where it's just like, you mind your own business.
Gina's home also serves as a feminist and womanist writing center called Liminal. Her literary events draw a diverse crowd, but she also wants to use Liminal as a bridge for old and new Oakland to communicate.
I am willing to hold space for people to have dialogue and, like, looking at intersections of race, of sexuality, of class, you know, like, all the shit that people are uncomfortable talking about, but that inevitably comes out whenever you write your own stories.
It's time for this story to go deep. The question remains about the boundaries, but there's a term that's become more common for one area of East Oakland. It's called Deep East Oakland.
Deep East Oakland, where that boundary is debatable, but anything after High Street to the San Leandro border.
Candace Elder is the founder and executive director of East Oakland Collective. The grassroots organization does racial and economic equity work in Deep East Oakland. She's an East Oakland native. Candace is right that people debate the boundaries, But for her organization, she says what makes up the Deep East boils down to resources. West of High Street, Candace says you see more small businesses, cafes, restaurants. Google opened a STEM lab in the Fruitvale. The farther or deeper you go into East Oakland, community access to resources declines.
So drive down International all the way to the San Leandro border, which is about like 108th, 109th Avenue, and you can see. You see the businesses start changing. You see more vacant lots. You'll see more vacant businesses. You'll see the street infrastructure is not kept up.
That may change.
East Oakland is starting to become gentrified. It's now like the hot spot, the place to live, you know, where property still might be a little bit affordable compared to, you know, other neighborhoods and even other cities. So we'll see an influx of people actually coming in to East Oakland. And before, they were scared of East Oakland. Now everyone wants to be in East Oakland.
Candace says the Deep East is where you will still find the largest population of African Americans left in the city that have not been displaced.
That's why part of the reason why the East Oakland Collective was founded was to get ahead of that curve, get ahead of gentrification, and stop the further displacement of Black people, and then also preserve the culture and the rich history of Deep East Oakland and Greater East Oakland.
Look up from the flatlands of Deep East Oakland and you can see the Oakland Hills. East Oakland is usually associated with the flatlands, not the higher income population up there. Back in downtown, Betty, Marvin, and I look at a map. I ask her if the hills are part of East Oakland.
They're the absolutely farthest east.
Ah. So are the hills Deep East? I'm not going there.
The deepest east.
The hills are the Deep East.
Wow. Isn't that something? Geographically, Miss Betty says the hills are the deepest east. I learned something new, but that still doesn't solve the big question. What are the boundaries of East Oakland? Miss Betty says the answer is...
Well, there are no wrong answers.
And there you have it. This is not the response I expected. I'm sticking to east of Lake Merritt. If East Oakland's boundaries are defined by who lives in the community, along with the social and economic issues going on at the time, instead of the actual physical areas, who knows where the boundaries will be pushed in the future. In East Oakland, I'm Janae Darden for Cross Currents.
Janae reports on Oakland for KLW. You can reach her at Janae, that's J-E-N-E-E, at KLW.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hannah Baba. And I have with me some very special guests who are here to ask for your support. From Snap Judgment, in this corner, it is Glenn Washington.
Right, weighing in at 125 pounds.
All right. Mm-hmm. And in the other corner, from Death, Sex, and Money, it is Anna Sayo.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
All right, and they're here to ask for your support at 800-525-9917. So, Glenn, why should Snappas call right now?
Well, SNAP is all about community. SNAP is all about Oakland, in fact. And I'll tell you something. Recently on SNAP Judgment, we did a show, a huge show we're going to talk about later on. It's called The Oakland Story, and it's about some tragic incidents that happened in 2017 in Oakland. And we do that because we think that this isn't just about us. These stories, these streets are unique in a way that have national and international resonance. And I think that that's one of the things that we love about KALW, that it's able to go in and say, this isn't just about this one little place. Everyone needs to hear this. Everyone can learn something from this. Everyone needs to see the world a little bit differently by looking through someone else's eyes. And it's just a value that we share at SNAP and at KLW. And I think that's why SNAP Nation, that's why you need to step up right now, because
step
it's
up.
So important. What's missing right now in today's dialogue more than anything is empathy. being able to put on someone else's shoes and wear someone else's skin. That's what SNAP does, and that's what KALW does, and we don't want to die without having sex or money.
Ooh, 800-525-9917. Our volunteers are in the phone room waiting for your call, SNAPAs, and death, sex, moneyers.
We call them listeners.
Listeners. <We don't. laughs>
But death, sex, and money listeners are highly engaged people. Mm-hmm. They have bought into this idea that sharing about where they're coming from as individuals, sometimes in some of the most tender moments of their lives, and sharing that with each other leads to something. That creates something that's a feeling that helps them and also helps people who listen to the show. And Glenn, I think Snap Judgment does that as well. I'm gonna have a little gentle smack. So I think you all
that
do.
That was a smack?
Well, it wasn't really a smack. I'm having trouble with the smacks. I think you all do an incredible job of doing that. We do it not so much only from it's like a less of a place-based sensibility in death, sex, and money. It's more like getting a sense of people from all over the place. I come from West Virginia. That's where I was raised. I spent a lot of time in New York City. Now I live in the Bay Area. And what interests me as a reporter and a journalist always is about the ways that we are stratified and the ways that we can't understand each other's stories because our worldviews can become so specific to our own personal experience. And so we did a whole series about class earlier this year on death, sex, and money that was all about how we live our class identities, how we think about where we came from, the kind of amount of money we have now, how that shapes our ability to empathize or not empathize with people depending on where they're coming from with their class identity. And it made me think a lot about how I spend my money, spending that time thinking about how I define myself. And driving around the streets of the Bay Area, I think a lot about how I spend my money.
Right.
And it makes me proud that I spend some of my money supporting KALW, because this is a community institution that does the work of sort of lifting up those stories that we're missing from the people who are living right next to us. The phone number to call to support that kind of work is 800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org.
Hannah, I do not appreciate being paired against the kindest woman in radio. It's like, how are you going to get a good, I need a good sucker punch time. Here's a real difference between Death, Sex, and Money and Snap Judgment is that Anna Sale is actually a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
As opposed to
me, who is not a reporter. And that's what I appreciate about KALW, is that they've given space for two very different types of ecosystems to to cohabitate. I don't want to get, you know, when I'm telling stories at Snap and when we're doing things, I oftentimes, of course, we use the tools of reportage, but I don't want the rules and regulations of it. I want to put music in what I want to put it in. I want someone who might be an unreliable narrator, a liar, let's say. I want to hear what the liar has to say, even if I know he's lying to me. Mm-hmm. I want to hear him because I think that tells me something. Now, I want to let everybody know. I want to let you know that I know, that he knows that I know, that there's some lying going on. But I just think that it's a different type. There are two different ways of getting at a truth.
Mm.
And I think that it's all encompassed in what we have here at KALW, and that it's special that these two types of systems can coexist together, and doesn't happen everywhere.
800-525-9917. You heard it from Glenn Washington. SNAPAs, give us a call. 800-525-9917. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Glenn, you have this style, and I just wanted to ask you a little bit about how did you come up with the style that you would use to present with. It's not hosty, it's not dry. You just kind of yourself, and you use your, you know, your natural kind of the way you talk, your colloquialisms. How did you determine that that's what you wanted to do?
I couldn't help myself. I had to speak the way I speak.
Mm.
And it's great because there's not one way to do anything. I think one of the gifts of coming into public radio is realizing that there's a bazillion ways to skin the cat, and I'm so thankful to the reception that people here in the Bay have given me and people nationwide have given to SNAP. It really makes you realize, you know, growing up, we heard the three anchors on national news and thought that that was the way people had to talk, even though that was never the way you spoke on the schoolyard, at work, mm-hmm. with your friends, mm-hmm. at church. And to pretend that that was a way I would tell stories just seemed wrong, especially when you're telling stories, I think.
Right.
Because when you're telling stories, you really want to get into your own voice because that puts you into your own perspective. Mm-hmm. And
you feel you're more authentic and like believable that way?
I do. I do. I mean, I could put on a voice. In fact,
put on a voice.
Well, when I was here, I used to work right actually across the street. Ooh. There's a story I'm going to tell on Snap soon, but I used to work across the street, and I was at a meeting one day, and a person came up, and we were having a big important meeting, and she said, let your assistant talk to my assistant, and we'll get this thing together, uh-huh. which was great. Mm. The problem was I didn't have any assistant. What are you talking about? But all of a sudden, I made one up. And his name was Oliver Sparrow. And he spoke like this. And hello, it's Oliver Sparrow calling.
That's horrible.
And it was terrible. But it was like every single BBC amalgam that I could think. If a person from the British Isles actually was speaking to me, they would be very horrified. Mm-hmm. But Oliver Sparrow called everyone. Mm-hmm. Hello, what's up? And this and that, isn't it? Just crazy. And so I say that to say I could, you know, you can adopt voices, but you might have the same tragic end that Oliver Sparrow did.
We don't want that.
Yes. Someone said, where are you from again?
Yeah. Congratulations. The documentary Counted, an Oakland Story, just won at the Third Coast Audio Festival, which is basically the Oscars for radio people. Congratulations.
Yeah, I hope there's a red carpet. Is there a red carpet? I don't know.
Maybe a purple one.
Even better.
I don't know. So what it is the team at Snap Judgment followed the 77 victims of homicide in Oakland for 2017 and told their stories and put it in documentary form.
Yeah.
So after the congratulations, of course, I wanted to ask, this is a different sound for Snap Judgment, this documentary format. And so I was wondering how you thought into getting into it, like a project like that in a documentary form.
Well, it's one of those things of listening to the people who are here. We have some amazing producers that are here. And sometimes you really want to swing big. And when we sit around and say, what do we want to do? How are we going to change things? How do we use our radio magic superpowers for good? And this was an idea that came up. It was actually, I think, conceived of by Anna Sussman's husband, and Jonathan. And he had the original idea, but it was a team effort. Anna Sussman is the producer extraordinaire. Adiza Egan, actually, I got to slide away from the host role, and Adiza carried this episode as a host, and she did a fabulous job. Again, the people, I think, though, that we spoke to, the people who carried on the memory of their lost and fallen family members and friends and community. Oakland wanted to tell this story. Oakland needed to tell this story, mm-hmm. about the people that were lost and not just have it be a statistic. And getting those real stories behind the real people that we did lose was, it was hard. It was amazing. It was cathartic. It was inspirational. It was incredibly sad. Mm-hmm. And it was just real. I think that word keeps coming up when you speak about Oakland in any way, but it was just real. I can't thank again the community that made that happen, the people here. I just hats off to the team that made it happen.
And speaking of the team, Adiza, who you've just talked about, is Adiza Egan. And she also actually teaches in one of our training programs in East Oakland, Oakland Youth Development Center. I had a chat with Adiza and Anna about this documentary recently. And we're just like all family, because that's what we do at KALW. We like to support fellow Bay Area journalists and lift up their great work. And so if you support that kind of love and that kind of camaraderie, it's a good time to show that support. It's our membership drive, and we're taking your donations right now at 800-525-9917 or at kalw.org. And now let's hear a clip from the documentary.
Well, Lincoln 12 copy in a unit to cover Rich and Webster.
On August 9th, Dave DePorce, a 40-year-old folk singer, was sitting outside the Hawk and Pony coffee shop in North Oakland.
It's a vehicle versus pedestrian, with the victim bleeding from the head.
I was in the jungles of Sri Lanka, and I went there to look for leopards. I got up at 6 in the morning, and I turned my phone on, and I saw that about every 2 or 3 minutes, there was a phone call coming in, either from my ex-wife or from my stepdaughter, and I knew there was something terribly wrong that had happened.
This is Dave DePorce's father, Gene.
And I called and said, "What's going on?" It was my ex-wife, and there was a long pause, and she said, "Gene, our son is dead." And that's how I learned about David. My son died at 40.
Gene felt the same way as a lot of the other parents who we talked to. His son's murder upended the natural order of things. When children die before their parents, it's so sudden, nobody gets to say goodbye. Now Gene was looking back at his son's life and trying to figure out who he really was.
He literally, he sang before he talked. He would bang out music on his crib.
Dave used to tell his parents that he was wired differently from most people.
Well, I would turn to him, you know, "You're 30 now. What are you going to do? You're 35. When are you going to get a corporate job? What about having money to be able to date? What about having a career?" If he played a venue and he got paid, that was nice. If he played a venue and didn't get paid, that was nice. All of this was stuff that put me as a dad on tilt. I was terrified.
When Gene got to Oakland 2 days after Dave died, he had no idea what to expect. He only knew that his son came to Oakland to make music.
By the time I got to Oakland, I knew that he was sitting in a sidewalk cafe working on his music on his laptop, and someone grabbed the laptop, ran to a waiting getaway car, and my son ran after the car to try to get the laptop back because it had his music on it. It had all the things he was working on it, and somehow was holding onto the guy in the car, and they drove for over 200 yards, banging him against other cars until he slipped out and was run over by their car and killed. It was the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, in a nice area of Oakland, and that's where my son was killed. When I arrived there, the first thing that happened, a phalanx of David's friends, none of whom I knew existed, befriended and took all of us over and put us up at their houses. I realized that my son had a much larger following than I had expected, and they were the people who started telling me all about David and all the things they knew about him. I feel that I've gotten a PhD in my son, which started not at base zero, but pretty darn close to it.
Some of Dave's friends held a vigil in his honor. They also organized a peace walk with musicians, poets, and artists.
This woman who lived on the street where he died, which was Rich Street, she comes up to me and gave me a big hello, and I hugged her. And after she left, there I was, and I looked at the memorial book that was there, and she wrote something in it.
I heard your voice call out for help. I heard the SUV screech away. I heard the partly open
This woman door saw my son run over and ran in the house and got a blanket and came out to join the policewoman and wrapped my son's feet in the blanket as he passed away.
I saw your torn clothes and held your feet. I saw you on your back looking up at the old tree in the sky.
I learned that so much of what I thought I knew about my son was wrong. Parents, when they view their kids, they're always viewing them with an eye towards themselves. When I got to Oakland, I was so impressed with what I've seen, with the people, what I've learned about the town. I'm proud of his humanity and how he was able to build his life around who he wanted to be as a human being. I am the proudest dad in the whole world right now.
That's a clip from Snap Judgment's episode, Counted, an Oakland Story. It documents every one of the 77 murders that took place in Oakland last year. The show is being honored at Third Coast International Audio Competition next week. Big props to the Snap team for that thoughtful, careful work. And you're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News, broadcasting from Snap Studios in the heart of Oakland. And we like to highlight work from audio journalists all around the Bay. Today is an important and special day for us to do that. It's the final Cross Currents of KALW's final membership drive of 2018. And it's time to turn our attention to that. All right, we're back with round three of today's smackdown between Anna Sale of Death, Sex, and Money and Glenn Washington of Snap Judgment. They're both here to rally their fans to support KALW in this membership campaign.
Anna Sale, your mama's head is so big that smaller mothers' heads orbit around it.
Oh, man. Okay, that's it for my listeners. Like, just to support me and my mom, please. Give to KALW right now. Show up.
See?
It's time. It's
showing up is half the battle. 1-800-525-9917.
He's trying his best to provoke you.
Yes.
Let's see. I don't get mad when I think about being smacked around. I just get even. And the way that I get even is I just do my work.
Oh,
and
my
I do it really
goodness.
Well. Jeez. And so, Death, Sex, and Money listeners, what I'm asking you to do right now is go online or go to the phone lines, tell them you're a Death, Sex, and Money listener, and make your pledge to KALW to support this kind of radio, to support KALW, and also to support my honor. 800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org.
Here's what I want you to do, Snappers. This is what I want you to do. Find a Death, Sex, and Money listener and take their lunch money. Just take it. Tell them it's yours now and make them say you're welcome. And then when you take that money, go ahead and send it into KALW.org. That's 1-800-525-9917. That's right. Please and thank you, the Death, Sex, and Money listener. That will learn you for next time. In case you happen to come around a snapper again. Don't mess with Snap Nation.
Okay, Death, Sex, and Money listeners, if you get your lunch money taken, yes, we will have a potluck. And we will gather and we will talk about the experience of having your lunch money taken.
Goodness.
And then we will pass a hat and we will give more money to KALW. But before that potluck, give a call and do your part. 800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org.
Snap Nation, in case you're hungry, there's going to be a potluck really, really soon. So the money you save on lunch, You can go ahead and send it in to KLW at 1-800-525-9917. There's going to be drinks, right? Yes, there's going to be drinks too. So don't you worry, none. KLW.org.
We got to continue this. Come on.
Let's see. I mean, we invite everyone to our potluck, Glenn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, and it could be a moment of kind of very interesting, hard conversation between the lunch money stealers and those who were victimized by the
snappers.
Lunch money.
No, snappers. We don't like hard conversations. We tend to avoid those at Snap Nation.
They do like sound design.
Whenever there's time
for... If you all bring the music, we'll bring...
The food and the money.
The food and the money.
And the drinks.
And a willingness to go there.
Thank you. That's right. It's good that our party will be served by people from Death, Sex, and Money, Snap Nation. It's going to be fantastic.
We'll pitch in, too.
Great.
Good. 800-525-9917. Give us a call right now.
The truth of the matter is, Hannah, that we do really appreciate the type of storytelling that happens at Death, Sex, and Money. I appreciate Anna Sale. I think, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I find myself wanting to confess things that I didn't do just by listening
to Anna
Sale.
Glenn wants to come to the potluck.
No.
He has to bring something, though.
I really do, that voice just makes you want to tell what happened.
I didn't. It's enticing.
It really is. If you haven't listened yet, KLW listeners, I would advise that you do that after, of course, you've gone on ahead and given someone from Snap Judgment Anna Sale's lunch money. Very, very important. But first things first is how we do things in the Bay.
800-525-9917. And we will be back with Anna Sale and Glenn Washington. You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. So, Anna, for fans of your show, how do you come up with all these episode ideas? And do you ever run out? What do you do?
It's more when you've got a charge to do stories about death, sex, and money, it's more a curating challenge than it is finding stories. Mm-hmm. Because pretty much every story, every human story has a thread that has to do with usually more than one of those things in life. But what we try to do is we try to I interview people who've been interviewed a lot, and I feel like there have been holes in moments in their life that people have skipped over. Like, for example, when somebody, a famous person had a gap in their career, and you never quite know, like, how did they make it during that time when they were trying to figure out the next thing? Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that, having been through phases of that in my own life and career. Or we tell stories about what I think is, it's like it's mixing the extraordinary with the mundane. Mm-hmm. Because you want to hear stories about, you know, someone who thought they were a child's father, and then you find out through a paternity test that you're not. And then how does that change the relationship you have with the child? How does that change the relationship you have with the guy who you find out is the father of the person, of the kid that you thought was yours? That's an extraordinary story. But then in that episode, we also included like him describing the mundane details of how he moved a crib out of his home into the bed of the pickup truck of the guy who was, in fact, the biological father. So it's kind of bringing those, like, very concrete details along with stories that really bring the stakes of what death and sex and money can mean in our lives.
So you recently aired an episode as part of your Hot Dates series about a man who got back into the dating scene in his 40s after he lost his wife. Let's hear an excerpt.
A couple of friends that have approached me have asked me, Dan, why in the world did you agree to do this podcast? Why did you put yourself out there? You sound like a complete idiot.
Hey, it's Anna with an update in our Hot Date series, this time from Dan.
And I told him that I'm getting out there and describing what I, as a white heterosexual man, did. And what I do now, and the realizations that I've come to, and the lessons learned, and what I'm doing differently.
Dan is the 41-year-old widower in Seattle who's back in the dating pool after his wife died last year. A lot of you had strong reactions to some of the things Dan said about consent in our first interview, including how he's trying to behave differently than earlier in his dating life. This is what he told me in that conversation.
What I would have done before is I would have initiated physical contact and I would have kept going. And if she said, whoa, not this, I simply would have switched tactics.
He also told me as he's dating now, after Me Too, he won't make a move at all unless he gets a clear, verbal, and sober yes. But in a voice memo he sent afterward, he said that's been a little frustrating because he feels like the women he's dating don't actually find that kind of communication attractive.
One of the phrases I keep hearing over and over again is, I'm tired of making decisions. I want the man to make decisions for a change.
I called Dan up to talk about this and some of your reactions to his first interview. I want to read you an excerpt from an email and get your response. And the listener says, Dan's interview made me want to scream. I feel like he's misinformed, and sadly, his definition of pursuing women has nothing to do with Me Too. Dan, don't be afraid of communicating and asking questions. Going for the avoid trouble at all cost just means that you're not doing the work, and women, surprise, surprise, are faced with the same maze of figuring out your needs and what your love language is. I promise we all want you to date. We just want to be heard and also respected, not treated like we are a ticking time bomb. How does that sound to you?
It's valid, and I agree with it. The counterpoint I would say to that is, and I know this is going to sound trite, not all women are like that. If I have a woman that comes at me and says, you know, I want to be pursued, I am dominant in my career and in my personal life, in my romantic life, I do not want to be dominant. I want to be submissive. I want you to make all the decisions. Then the approach that the writer is requesting does not work.
I was struck by in the first voice memo that you sent, in the voice memo that you sent where you were reflecting on this more, that I really related to that, like, feeling as a woman of just like, oh my God, in my romantic life, I would just really like someone to show up and make me feel like I don't have to be in charge of it. But somehow for me, when I think of that, you know, I think that's part of what my attraction was to my now husband, in fact, was that sense of like, oh, this is someone who like can anticipate when I'm hungry and will make me a meal. But I never felt like there was a contradiction between that and like when we were intimate, communicating that I wanted things to unfold as they were unfolding. You know, if he had put his hand on my upper thigh and I had moved his hand away, that seems like a different signal than saying, I want you to make decisions about where we're going to dinner tonight.
It is a different signal. As I was raised, the messaging to men was, if she needs your hand, okay, try somewhere else. You know, be aggressive, be assertive, be in charge. And I wonder if that be in charge statement, the problem lies in how it's interpreted by men versus by women. Nowadays, I worry that my girlfriend will think less of me if I ask her a lot of questions, or I'm always checking in with her to say, do you like this? Do you like that? There's this worry in the back of my head. Am I losing my masculinity by asking too many questions? And emotionally, as a man, I do have a negative reaction to that because I'm supposed to be certain.
Since we first spoke, Dan has been working through some of these questions in a new relationship with a woman he met online and is now dating exclusively.
She wants to be submissive in the relationship and she wants me to make the decisions. So in me, I do worry, am I asking too much? Does she want me to just make more assumptions? But I ask because I respect her and I want to do right by her. I want to be the best boyfriend I can for her, the best partner.
That was an excerpt from Death, Sex, and Money. And with me today is the host, Anna Sale. Anna, you go deep into people's feelings with every episode. And it's stuff that not everyone is able to talk about, you know, even with friends and family. What's it like getting so personal with people you're talking to for the first time?
I mean, usually I find that, surprisingly, people are ready. You know, like Dan there, like you hear him, he knows he's trying to like think about how to be in the world and how to be the right kind of man. And he has these contradictory feelings based on how he was conditioned to be a man and what he thought manhood was. And he doesn't know how to say things in the right way. He's aware of that. Mm-hmm. And our listeners made us aware of that too. And they've heard his initial interview. Mm-hmm. About the ways that he talked about how he formally sort of steamrolled through consent conversations when he was on dates with women.
Right.
So I find that, like, you know, often it's a little bit of a relief to talk about the moments when we've been uncertain or confused or the things that we've hidden out of pride or fear or shame. Mm. That's what I like about doing this show is I find that, like, most often, it's not like I'm prying in somebody's life. It's like we become these collaborators and having a conversation around something that actually feels really real and true and trying to pull something out.
I always wonder if, like, does that make you the deep secrets magnet, even, like, when you're not looking? Like, if you're walking up to people on the street or you meet somebody somewhere and they find out you're Anna Sale and then they come up and just, like, pour out their secrets to you.
I have had that happen, and I find it I take it as a very high compliment that someone – I had somebody talk to me about their miscarriage in a hotel elevator once, and it was just, like, very, like – whoa, like she needed to talk about that. So it confirms for me that the stories that we tell on the show are things that are like just under the surface. And when given an opening that feels safe, a lot of people are ready to share.
Mm. How do you get people to open up and trust you?
I think the thing about our show is when I was developing it, like, I really wanted to make a show that was about life choices and the way our families look and the way our love lives look and the way our job professional lives look, that was sort of like that didn't have any judgment about what choices worked. It's much more about curiosity about like, how does that work for you? If these are the choices you've made, how has that added up to what your life looks like and what works and what doesn't work? And so I think that with that kind of spirit of just like, what was that like? And what is that like? People will describe. Mm-hmm. And it's less about, you know, I don't say, now I'm going to ask you to tell me a deep, dark secret. It's more like, tell me about your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I like to be in a show.
What do you listen to? What do you like to listen to other than Death, Sex, and Money?
I don't listen to my own show that much, actually. I find that weird.
Mm.
I have a 2-year-old, and it's like funny to me when the moment she hears my voice coming out of our phone, it's like rare, and she's like, what's happening?
Aww.
And I'm like, oh, she doesn't really know. This is the thing. I listen to a whole – I love interviews. I love long-form interviews. That's why I got into radio. I find that really just, like, rich and textured, getting to know someone, getting to listen in on a conversation. And my favorites are I love Fresh Air. Mm-hmm. I love the long-form podcast because I find it interesting hearing about how people talk about their craft. I listen to Reply All a lot, which surprises me because I don't, like, think of myself as somebody who – loves the internet. It's a show all about the internet.
You don't love the internet.
I have very ambivalent feelings about the internet. I use the internet a lot in my life, but I feel like there's lots of ways it's making us less capable of like living amongst each other.
But if there was one website you would tell people to go to right now on the internet, what would it be?
It would be kalw.org. Because When you go to KALW.org, it's actually the antidote to how a lot of the internet can make me feel. A lot of the internet can make me feel pulled apart. It can make me feel like I have to pick sides. I have to figure out, like, just that I'm diving into the things that are despairing and the things that are outrageous. And all of that is important. All of that is important. And I think news reporting is very important, and supporting journalism is very important. KALW does that wonderfully. But KALW also mixes with that reporting a sense of community and a sense of collective responsibility to the people that we live with and our neighbors with, and a sense of responsibility to pay attention to what's being left out and who's being left behind. And I think that's really worthy of support. So if you want to support that kind of storytelling and journalism, I hope you call in at 800-525-9917.
And we're back now on KALW. It is the smackdown between Anna Sale and Glenn Washington. They are smacking down for your donations, your contributions to the KALW membership drive at 800-525-9917. Okay, folks. Final round. This is it. This is it.
Let's settle it like public radio people should settle things. I think we should have an arm wrestling contest to decide.
I'm really good at arm wrestling.
Darn it.
I got the wrist strategy down.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a problem.
Then I'll back away from that in tried and true snap judgment fashion and say this. Snap Nation. It is really, really time for us to step up and finally put to bed this nonsense that people from death, sex, and money can take on someone who calls himself a snapper. If you are a snapper out there, your individual prestige is on the line. And I want you to take that very, very seriously right now. If it turns out that death, sex, and money people have outperformed on this KALW pledge drive in our home base, well, we're going to have to hold our heads down in shame. Don't do it. Don't do it. That number to call is 1-800-525-9917. Not for you, snappers, but for your children. 1-800-525-9917, KALW.org.
He did not go that route.
Death, sex, and money listeners, we know what we do. We try to keep track of what's about us as individuals and our ego, and what's about the collective. And this is about the collective honor of death, sex, and money in the eyes of the KALW universe. So I need you to step up. I know you appreciate KALW. I know you see and listen and hear to what they do and how it's special and distinctive across radio and across podcasting. What they do is really special, and it takes money. So I'm asking you to step up for death, sex, and money for KALW and make that phone call, 800-525-9917, or go to KALW.org.
All right. Well, you heard it here. We are going to be counting the donations that come in from death, sex, and money and those that come in from snappers. So give us a call.
The donations that come in from snappers will be from death, sex, and money listeners.
Ooh. Well, you know, I think there are some snappers who are death, sex, and money listeners.
How could that possibly be?
I think that's a true thing. Well, but if you are one of those, make sure you call and give credit to death, sex, and money.
Double.
800-525-9917.
You got to give twice then.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.